Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt. We're coming to you again this morning with another lesson from the Comeback Series, God's Providence in Motion. Today's lesson will be lesson number 7, and it's entitled Journey Without Incident. And you know, I think this lesson is something great today because today is a special day for Mrs. Shutt and I. Today, we have officially been here as members of Church of the Open Door for 10 years. We made our final move up here on Monday, June the 6th, 2011. And today, being June 6th, 2021, it's a celebration day for us as we celebrate being with you 10 full years. My goodness, how it seems like it was only yesterday that so many of you met us at the house where we were moving into, and you helped us unload that big truck, and you helped us to put things in that house, and you've been so faithful and kind to us through all these years as we've been teaching you the Word of God. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I just want to say again today, Conqueror's Class, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be your teacher and to be a servant here of the Lord in the great Church of the Open Door under our pastor, Dr. Norris Belcher. I also want to say this morning, happy birthday to our grandson, Logan. When we moved here on June the 6th, 2011, he had just turned 2 years old, and that was 10 years ago now, and he is a young man of 12 years old as of today, and we just want to say happy birthday, Logan. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you in the days to come. All right, God bless you today. I hope you had a great Memorial Day holiday last week, and we're so thankful that you've joined us again today. We look forward to the day coming, hopefully in mid-July, when we can begin our Sunday school classes in the physical realm once again here in Baker Auditorium. And we just want to say thank you for joining us each and every week, as you've been faithful to do over this COVID situation here online. We thank you so much for joining us. Today, our lesson is going to be found in Ezra chapter 8. And this lesson, again, is for Sunday, June the 6th, 2021. Our lesson theme verse is found in this passage of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 27, where the prophet writes of God, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Let me read that verse again. And God is speaking here to his people, and he's saying to them, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And folks, I want to ask you this question today. Is there anything too hard for the God that you serve? Is there anything that's too hard for the God that you serve? Last week, as we studied about this man named Ezra, we found a man who had prepared his heart for the work of God and for the work that God had him to do in his day. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, we read these words, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." While Ezra indeed faced a great challenge with the people of God there in Jerusalem, Ezra knew where the power and the strength to revive God's people once again would come from. And it would come from the holy and inerrant Word of God. The people of God were in a deep state of apathy, meaning they had, through compromise, which eventually led them to making wrong decisions, they had lost all interest and all joy in serving the Lord. And this lack of concern for serving the God of their deliverance had brought upon them a spiritual indifference toward living for the Lord and in serving him from a willing heart as they should, which in turn resulted in a type of spiritual casualness and disinterest toward the things of God, which basically caused them to disregard anything and everything that used to be of importance to them concerning their Redeemer, the Holy Lord God of Israel. And boy, doesn't that sound just like our modern day religious America today? instead of being filled with the power of God so that they might be able to accomplish the true work of God, churches today are filled with a type of casualness toward the things of God. And they lack the true power of God to accomplish that which the Lord has truly saved us as his children and commanded us to do for him while we're here upon this earth. But in the midst of all this apathy and spiritual disinterest in the things of God, the power of the Word of God became an igniter within the dry and lifeless stubble of the people of God. And through the power of the Word of God, God used this faithful servant, Ezra, to stir the hearts of his people through the preaching of God's Word. For this man of God had indeed prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra had learned through his studies of the Word of God that obedience unto God truly brings blessings, even as disobedience unto God brings forth wrath and judgment from God. The Old Testament scriptures are so full of this teaching, even as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and even in Joshua chapter 1. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible is chock full of teaching that will stir souls to come to the Lord if only there is a faithful man of God who will preach that word unto them. Ezra not only read and learned what the Word of God said, but Ezra applied it to his heart, and he did it even as Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, when he wrote, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." So Ezra not only had a providential hand to guide him and a heart that was prepared to teach and to preach the Word of God to the people, but if you'll remember, God had also provided him with a Persian king, even as we saw in verses 11 through 26 of Ezra chapter 7. Now, go back just a moment, and if you'll remember, back in Ezra chapter 4, we saw there how that Ezra and the people returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They had a purpose in going. And they had already encountered the beginning of some great opposition against them, let alone completing the work that God wanted them to accomplish. But God had already begun to speak to the heart of a pagan king, even as we saw there beginning in Ezra chapter 7, verse 11. And through God's prompting, this king recognized Ezra as God's man. And look at what he wrote here in verses 12 through 14 of Ezra chapter 7. The Bible said, "Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. And at such a time, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of the priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand." Wow, look at that. The king of Persia recognized Ezra as God's man. And he stated here, he said, "Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, according to the law of thy God, which is in thy hand." Now, why did he do this? I'll tell you why. It's because this king knew that Ezra was God's man. And it was because Ezra had been unashamed, unafraid, and unlimited in opportunity to hold up the word of God and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And without a doubt, this king knew that Ezra's message, as well as his actions, were all inspired and determined by the mind of God. And as a result of this, God led this king to basically give Ezra and his people anything and everything that they needed to get the work of the Lord accomplished, even as we read here in Ezra chapter 7, verses 14 through 26. Look at what the Bible said. "For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them unto the altar of the house of your God which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily unto 100 talents of silver, and unto 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and wine without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Wow, what a God. And if you'll remember, not only did this king give Ezra all that he needed for the task that God had commanded him to do, but this king told him to do it speedily, verse number 21. And then he gave it to the man of God tax-free. Can you imagine? It's there in verse number 24. And then look at verse 25, where the king wrote, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." This pagan king gave God's people everything that they needed, and he went one step further in verse 26 by stating, "And whosoever will not do the law of God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment." Wow, wouldn't it be something if our president did something like this with all those liberals who only want to forsake the God of heaven and to do our country great harm today? Wouldn't that be something? But then I want you to see Ezra's response in verses 27 and 28, where first, Ezra praised God for all that he had done for him. When Ezra read all this from the king, his heart burst forth with praise unto the God of heaven. And the Bible says here in verse 27, and in the first part of verse 28, that Ezra shouted out, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the Kings, Mighty Princes. Folks, Ezra got excited, amen, because he knew that he was right in the center of God's perfect will for his life, and that sovereign and almighty God of heaven was in control of all things, including this pagan king, amen. Solomon indeed had it right when he wrote these words in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And Ezra knew that it was God who deserved all his praise. It wasn't men, it wasn't kings, it wasn't other preachers or prophets, not the people, but rather it was all of God and God alone. But then I want you to see how that in the last part of verse 28, Ezra, as well as all the people, they were all encouraged by God. Now look at what the last part of Ezra chapter 7, verse 28 says here. Ezra writes these words. He said, and I was strengthened. How many times, folks, do we need the strength of God upon our lives? And it's only God's strength that gets us through those difficult times. And Ezra writes here, he said, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Oh, for the man of God who had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do the things that God had commanded him to do personally, and then to teach those things unto God's own people who are distraught and discouraged by the circumstances around them. Ezra knew that this stand for God, it would not make his life easier for himself in the eyes of many people, or even for the people to whom he was sent to preach the message and to encourage them. But Ezra knew that it was God who had given both him as well as God's people the word of God for this specific purpose. Amen. And you know, Ezra knew that it was God who had brought both him and this great people on their 900-mile-plus trek from the land of Babylon's distress to the land of God's promise and rest. So Ezra willingly, Ezra lovingly, Ezra gratefully chose to obey the Lord God. And when he did this, God gave him a joy that he could share with others, which he did. You know, I'm so thankful that God has done this great thing for me and my wife. As we moved up here 10 years ago, we moved by faith. And oh, how God has blessed us. God has been our provision. God has been our provider. God has been our friend and close advisor in all that we've done for him. And oh, how God has blessed us through the years simply because we trusted him, we loved him, and we did what God said do. And now we have the opportunity to teach others and to encourage others to do the same thing. And you know, when God gave Ezra every provision that was needed in order to do all that God had commanded him to do, not only was Ezra strengthened and encouraged, but this king and all his counselors, even the adversaries of God's work, and finally even the very people of God themselves, they all stood amazed to see that the hand of God was indeed upon this man named Ezra and in all that he did for God. And folks, as we see here how that God strengthened Ezra, the man of God, we also see how that Ezra, the man of God, then in turn strengthened the people of God through the preaching of the word of God. And then he selected out of Israel chief men to go up with him to Jerusalem so as to accomplish the work that God had laid before them. And you know, as I told you last week, when I read this chapter, I could not help but think of two other scripture passages found in the New Testament. The first passage being written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, which said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And then the second passage I remembered was from the book of Revelation, where Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, dear child of God, listen to me, honey. Your strength may indeed be small today, but the God that you and I serve is mighty to save. Amen? And God has set before you, and God has set before me today a great work to accomplish. For a great door and effectual is opened. But I want you to remember this fact. There are many adversaries. And folks, don't you let the adversaries keep you from accomplishing what God has set before you to do. For God has indeed set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. But with that open door, we need to see the fact that God has also supplied for us every provision to see us through our long journey. Amen? And why? Because we deserve it? No. Because we've earned it? No. No, 1,000 times, no. But He has supplied our every provision through the power of His sweet Holy Spirit and through the power of His almighty word, because He knows us and that we have such little strength in ourselves to be faithful to do anything for Him. But thank God, He both sees and He knows when we keep His word and when we refuse to deny His name, it is then that He gives us His strength to do what we cannot do in ourselves. What a God, amen? What a Savior, oh dear child of God. Keep your heart prepared to seek the law of the Lord, and not just to seek it and to get a head full of knowledge, but rather that we might learn to do it, so that we might then be able to teach all those around us, the next generation to come, the statutes and the judgments of the Lord, so that they too can do the same thing for someone else one day. Now, I've gone on with a review of last week's lesson, and man, I got excited about this. But, you know, we got to get on with the lesson today, amen? And we've looked at this, and now we come to this lesson in chapter number 8 of the book of Ezra. And we're going to look and see just how Ezra's journey to Jerusalem became a journey without incident. That's the title of the lesson today, Journey Without Incident. And how God used this dear man to courageously teach the people of God how to depend upon God for all that they needed while they were on their earthly journey. So let's begin the lesson today entitled Journey Without Incidents. We're going to begin in Ezra chapter 8, verses 1 through 20. And we're going to take a look at the personnel for the journey, the personnel that God assigned for this journey. Now let's look at these volunteers, first of all, in verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to read all of these verses because my time is just short right now. But when we read these 14 verses, we can see that Ezra was in no wise overwhelmed with an innumerable amount of volunteers to go with him to Jerusalem. In all, when you count them all up, it comes out to be 1,496 men. Less than 1,500 men were numbered here in these verses. But you know, God can take that which seems small, and He can do great things with small numbers. It's all of Him, folks. Remember, it's all of God. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And although many of those that were living in Babylon at this time probably never knew anything about the Promised Land, they only knew Babylon. They only knew where they had been raised. They had heard stories of the Promised Land. Very few of these folks were actually interested in picking up and moving from Babylon, since they had been there all or even most of their lives. But most of those people who did choose to volunteer to go with Ezra, though it made no real news in the local paper there in Babylon, honey, I want you to know it made news in heaven. And God, the Holy Spirit, here in these verses had their names and their numbers forever recorded in the Word of God. Wow. Think about that today, folks. Dear child of God, God is keeping the record. You may think that what you do for God goes unnoticed, but honey, God is keeping the record. And what we faithfully do for God is never forgotten by God. You remember that today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But then I want you to notice too in verses 15 through 20 that Ezra found some recruits. Now look at these verses, 15 through 20. Ezra chapter 8, verses 15 through 20. Ezra writes here, he said, "And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shimei, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also of Joab, and of Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief of the place Casaphia. And I told them what they should say unto Edo and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place of Casaphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, the son of Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshiah, of the sons of Merari, his brethren, and their sons, 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims. All of them were expressed by name. As Ezra surveyed that group of men who had volunteered to come, he took note that there were no Levites in his count. Now, what could have happened to them? Ezra needed these men in order to teach the people the Word of God. But where were they? Where are the men of God today? Boy, could Ezra have had a good reason and an excuse to get mad at all the people and to get discouraged himself and just quit like seemingly everyone else had done. But instead of getting mad, he got in touch with God, and God directed him as to what to do. So right here in verses 15 and 16, Ezra called for 11 leaders among the people who were men of understanding. Those men that could help him go to the Levites in search of some men who would be willing to come and be ministers in the house of their God. And in verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, God did exactly that. Amen? 38 Levites and 220 Nethinim temple servants, 258 new recruits in all, each known of God and each recruited by God. Oh, as the old fellow said, ain't God good? Amen? Ain't God good? So now they have the volunteers they need. And in verses 21 through 30, we see the preparation that is made for the journey. I hope you're following along in the lesson notes today. We're going to see the preparation now is made for the journey. As these volunteers all made ready to head to Jerusalem, Ezra realized that he needed to do a couple of things. First of all, he needed to prepare these men spiritually for the mission that lay ahead of them. So they, number one, they humbled themselves before God. They humbled themselves before God. In verse number 21, Ezra writes these words. He said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Ezra chose to begin their mission with solemn prayer and dedication unto the Lord God. So he boldly proclaimed a fast there, reasoning with the people that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. And by proclaiming a fast, they were proclaiming unto God that they were serious about what they were about to do for the Lord God of Israel, and that in a special way, they needed his help. They needed his assistance in both guiding them and in knowing the right way for them to go in and perform the doing of God's plan for them. Oh, that you and I today might take time to proclaim a fast in our lives where we separate ourselves from all the things of this world and the things of this flesh and just get alone with God. Amen. We need to seek after him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. And these folks also, they wanted this mission to mean something to their little ones so that in the future they would remember what God had done for them. Oh, how I want my children, my grandchildren, and one day hopefully my great-grandchildren to remember what God did for me, that they might be able to do something great for God. And not only did they humble themselves before the God, but next they besought the Lord God to bless and protect not only them and their little ones, but everything else that they brought to offer unto the Lord as they performed this task for the Lord. And look at verses 22 and through 30. They sought God. They sought God. They didn't seek the things of this world. They didn't seek after the king's riches. No, they sought the God of Israel to give them exactly what they needed for their journey at hand. Listen, folks, Ezra knew that it was God's protection that they needed, not man's. And he did not want the king to think that God could not do what Ezra had already proclaimed that he knew God could do for them, as we see here in verse number 22. And this is what Ezra wrote. He said, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." Oh, that you and I today might be ashamed not to fully trust God for all that we have and all that we've been commanded by him to do for him. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we say we trust God, but then we don't actually trust God. So now, in verse 23, we read these words. Ezra writes, "So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." Amen. That term, "and he was entreated of us," literally means that God heard and accepted their prayers. Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing to know that we have both a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And what a blessing it truly is to know that we can indeed depend upon God fully, wholly, to do what he says that he will do if we'll only trust him and allow him the opportunity to do it. And then in verses 24 through 27, Ezra selects those men of God who will faithfully handle the finances of this operation. And in verse 28, Ezra declares unto them all, "Holy unto the Lord, as were the vessels themselves." And in verse 29, he charges them with the responsibility of guarding the treasure house of God. And in verse 30, he writes, "So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God." And then finally, here in verses 31 through 34, we see their departure and their arrival. Oh, they left out joyful and they arrived the same way. Look at it. In verses 31 through 34, we see God's protection while they were on their journey. Look at what verses 31 through 34 said. "Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, and the son of Binui, Levites, by number and by weight of every one. And all the weight was written at that time. In verse 31, Ezra once again reminds the readers here that God is indeed faithful to do what he has promised he will do. Ezra was well aware of what God had done for his people, and Ezra wanted Israel to be aware of the same thing. Folks, God protects, God strengthens, God enables, and honey, God never fails. Amen? The children of Israel found out that God was indeed able to do all that he had promised to do, even as God states in our lesson theme verse found in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, where God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Listen, let me ask you something today, Conquerors class member. What would you consider to be too hard for the God that you serve today? Honey, if you're serving the boss at work, there's a lot of things too hard for him. He probably can't even get you a good raise. But you know what? The God that we serve, there's nothing too hard for him. And child of God, let me remind you, nothing is too hard for our God. And I want you to know this too here in verses 32 through 34, that when they got to Jerusalem, they abode there for 3 full days. And on the 4th day, those men of God, both the priests and the Levites, they delivered the exact amount of vessels and treasures that had been assigned to them. Nothing was lost, and there was nothing more than what they had been given before their journey began. Amen. And when all had been done as was commanded of them, we see in verses 35 and 36 that they worshiped at the temple. Boy, they had a reason to worship, did they not? Look at what the Bible said. Also, the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river. And they furthered the people and the house of God. All those who had once been carried away into captivity, they came and they worshiped the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that we are able to do that today? Listen, this COVID-19 pestilence had carried us away for more than a year into captivity at home and away from the house of God. But now we've been delivered. Amen. And we ought to be in the house of God and worship the Lord and take the opportunity to say, "Thank you, God, for all you've done for us." Listen, folks, they willingly gave of themselves in their worship and in their praise unto the Lord. Look at what they did. They offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel. They offered 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. And notice here in verse 35 that all this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. Everything was given unto God. A voluntary demonstration of their love and their gratitude unto the Lord for all he had done for them was clearly seen in these verses. And child of God, let me ask you today, what type of sacrifice have you given unto the Lord God lately that would demonstrate your love and your gratitude for all that he has done for you? Man, that's something to think about, is it not? But now I want you to know this here in verse 36, how that they not only learned that they could depend upon God, but they demonstrated their willingness to do what God had commanded that they should do by encouraging the other Jews to help beautify the house of the Lord. And they willingly went about declaring all that God had done for them, as well as what God wanted to do through them. Look at what verse 36 says. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Is that not our job today, dear child of God, to further the people and the house of God? Listen, as we conclude this lesson today, we need to learn something today from this lesson. As you and I learn that we can truly depend upon the Lord in every situation, we're going to better see and understand how that God works in our lives to see us through each of those situations. It's not saying here that they weren't going to go through some tough times, but what we're learning here is that God is the God of the mountain, even as he is the God of the valley. Amen. He's with us through the good times, and he's with us through the bad times. No matter how difficult or trying the times may be, our God is faithful. And let me ask you something today, child of God. Are you fully trusting the Lord today? Listen, is there anything too hard for the God that you serve today? Oh, dear child of God, listen to me today. Your strength may be small. You may be frustrated and agitated with all the things going around you today, but the God that you serve is mighty to save. And the God that has saved you is willing to see you through all of those situations. And God has set before you a great work to accomplish. Folks, a great door and effectual is opened unto each of us today. But I want you to remember this fact. There are many adversaries. Folks, don't let the adversaries of this old book, don't let the adversaries of the God who has saved you, don't let the adversaries of the God who has commanded you to go out and reach your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, your world with the gospel, don't let the adversaries keep you from accomplishing what God has set before you to do. For God has indeed set before us an open door, and no man can shut it. Listen to me today, child of God, Conqueror's Class member. Men may let you down, but God will never forsake us. Listen, you may be disappointed in men. And let me remind you of something that our pastor has taught us through the years, that the best of men are still only men at best. But folks, the God that we serve is able to see us through. Why? Is it because we deserve it? Is it because we've given so much money to missions and we've done all this and all that for the Lord in so many years past? No, it's not because we deserve God's blessings. It's not because we've earned anything from God. It's simply because God is faithful to his word to supply our every provision through the power of his sweet Holy Spirit and through the power of his almighty word. And it's all because he knows us. And he knows that we have such little strength in ourselves, but he is willing to see us through. And he knows that when we keep his word and when we refuse to deny his name, that he is willing to give us his strength to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Folks, we've got a great God. We've got a God that loves us. We've got a God that wants to use us today. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn away. Don't let the adversaries of this old world turn you away from doing what God has saved you to do. Child of God, keep your heart prepared to seek the law of the Lord. And not just to seek it and to get a head full of knowledge, but honey, to do it. And then in turn, to teach all those around you, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the folks you work around. Listen, you need to teach all those around you the statutes and the judgments of the Lord so that they one day can do the same thing for somebody else, even as God has done for you. There is truly nothing too hard for our God to do if we will simply trust His promises today. Oh, what a lesson. Thank God for this book of Ezra. And then maybe you're listening to the sound of my voice today, and maybe you don't know the God that I've been teaching about today. You have no idea about the blessings of God in your life. Why? Because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. My friend, listen to me today. God loves you. And God has saved me, and God has saved the other folks in our Conqueror Sunday School class so that you might see what God has done for us and know that God is indeed faithful to keep His word. And my friend today, if you will humbly bow your head, you will humbly bow your heart unto God and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, God will indeed forgive you and save you and give you a life truly worth living for today. My friend, God loves you, and there is nothing too hard for God. He will save you if you'll only ask Him to do it. Father, I love you today. And God, thank you so much for this precious word of God that I hold within my hand. Oh, God, what a blessing it is that you would choose a wicked wretch like me to one day reach down and save me and call me to preach thy word. And Lord, to know that I am in the center of your will is worth more than anything this world can offer. And God, I thank you, Lord, for 10 years ago today, you brought me and my wife here to Westminster, Maryland. And God, you're using us to be able to teach your people the ways and the statutes and the judgments of God. Oh, God, continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. And help the word that I've been teaching and preaching to these folks today to be a help and an encouragement to them that they might go and do the same thing for others. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for the privilege to serve you today. We thank you, God, for this church. God, we thank you for our pastor. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll keep our hearts revived, keep our hearts stirred to see the need of the hour, and that being to reach our lost world with the message of the gospel before it is eternally too late for them. God, we love you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll let this lesson be a help and encouragement to those who listen. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Conquerors class, I hope to see you today at 10:45 here at church service. And we look forward to the day, hopefully in mid-July, that we can begin our physical Sunday school classes once again. But until that day, we'll continue to come to you each and every Sunday morning with the lessons here online from the Conquerors Sunday School class. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you soon.